WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The new film Open Water was inspired by the true story of a couple that was accidentally left on the open sea by their charter boat while scuba diving. The filmmakers went all out for realism, putting their actors in the water for weeks, at times with live sharks. David Edelstein has this review.
When you see a movie like Open Water, you do a lot of thinking about what makes for a good story and why horror movies often get a pass if they don't have one but still shake you up. You're reminded at the start that this is based on a real event. And it's the realness that's the hook. No special effects, no movie stars, live sharks. A husband and wife, attractive but not by film actor standards heart-stopping, leave for a Bahamas vacation. Their talk is ordinary, and so is the camera work. It's totally flat. That's not to say it's bad. To be bad, it would need to attempt something, besides presenting the most mundane behavior in the most mundane way. It's good, insofar as it makes you think, hey, that could be me. The couple's trip on the scuba diving boat is ordinary, too. The guides recite their standard speeches and say, yeah, you might see a shark, but if you don't want to, just close your eyes. Then it's everybody in, the first non-mundane moment in the film. It's when the divers are shot from way down below, splashing and wriggling and looking so yummy. You've probably heard that much of Open Water is the main characters, Susan, played by Blanchard Ryan, and Daniel, played by Daniel Travis, bobbing in the water up and down, the camera at their level, waiting for their boat to return. For a while, they think they came up in the wrong spot. How could the people running the scuba business, so safety-conscious, not realize two divers were still down at the reef? They joke about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel and warm each other up by peeing. You get to like these two, to think of their relationship as a wave. Daniel cradles Susan, Susan cradles Daniel. Each takes a turn keeping the other afloat. Inevitably, they fight.
Do you honestly, seriously, honey, do you honestly think that we got left behind because we were late? I'm serious. Do you have any idea how idiotic that sounds?
Oh, so now I'm an idiot? Well, we are where we are, aren't we?
Yeah, fine. Yes, because of me.
You refused to swim.
Oh, yes.
My God, there were boats all around us and you refused. And now, look, look around us. We are stuck in the middle of the ocean with nobody.
Even if we had been swimming for the last 5 hours, we would not be any closer to a boat than we are now.
It's quite a challenge making a movie in which the characters are stuck in one place for a full hour, the only action coming when they get nipped at by little things, and then nipped at by much bigger things. Once in a while, the filmmakers, Chris Kentis and Laura Lau, cut to the resort where Susan and Daniel are supposed to be, to people with sweet drinks and coconuts, dancing like there's no tomorrow. Then it's back to our couple, for whom there might not be. It's pitch black, and more sharks are circling. And the only time we can see is when the lightning flashes, and then we see more than we want to, like the tails of the circling sharks. We see human and shark from underneath, too, accompanied by sad a cappella island spirituals, not a hopeful portent. I won't spoil the ending, but it's fair to say that taken as a story, this is no more interesting than the Blair Witch Project, which was basically three people walking around and around, and the camera so jittery that many of us got seasick. Open Water induces seasickness, too, but mostly dread sickness, from what you can't see coming. And what a strange thing to want to put ourselves through this and say, that's entertainment. Anthropologists have said that we're not running from saber-toothed tigers anymore, but we still have this leftover fight-or-flight mechanism that needs periodically to get taken out for a walk, or in this case, a swim. This desire to feel so helpless and threatened that we revert to a primitive state. It's a huge box office draw, and this little no-budget movie, like Blair Witch, has it down to a science, the science of torture. I know some people will have a good laugh, give thanks to be safe in the theater, and go out for seafood. But all I could think was that I'd seen something sadistic, a movie that used my innate love of being scared and my capacity for empathy against me. A true exploitation movie. And I thought, yuck.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.